KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. ESPN 97.5. A Gal Media Station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two is underway of the three-hour big show. It is Barry, it is Nick, it is Joel, it's The Usual Suspects, and you found us on ESPN 97.5. Lock it in, keep it here. Covered the gamut in hour number one. Covered a lot of ground,
a little sportsy,
non-sportsy. We try to entertain. We aim to please around here.
Yeah, talk a little Rockets. And Andre Davis said he could see Russ coming out with a point to prove against Harden and, you know, the whole MVP thing. And so that the individual motivation is certainly with the Thunder way more than the Rockets. But I think the Rockets as a team, I think they're above that now. Like, you've got that sense. Before, it was about individual accolades. But I think Paul Tucker, Mbamute, having Ariza's head in the game. Some of these guys are like, you know what? This is something special. Let's focus more on winning as a team as opposed to individual stuff.
Look, I would just say this. If there's any one player in the league that's going to make it personal,
it's going to be Russ.
It's Westbrook, yeah. Right? But overall, I get what you're saying. It's just sometimes I think that because of that professionalism with the Rockets, they look at more of the big picture and go, this isn't about a regular season game on a Tuesday night. This is about...
That's what I'm saying. The Rockets are above that now.
Yeah, but I just don't know if they... I'm going to say they're going to be lack of motivation, but I don't know that they'll be as jacked up, juiced up, and the crowd will be too, as OKC will. What's your take on tonight?
I think that the OKC, just on the game or like on how person... I think that OKC's defense is actually going to be pretty good tonight. I think OKC is going to play up to the Rockets' level. I think they're going to want to make a point. And this is a dangerous game for the Rockets. That's the reason why I would be happy if they got this win. And what are the next two games? I know they're playing Milwaukee.
Milwaukee tomorrow night and Toronto on Friday night.
I'd be okay if they lost those other two. I mean, I don't want them to lose, obviously. But I think the OKC is the most important game of those three games. And it's important for them to win because I do think they're going to play up. I think they're going to bring a different energy. And this is the type of game that breaks win streaks.
Plus, it's a tiebreaker. They only play Oklahoma City three times this year, and OKC took the first one on national TV at their place. They do play here once this year, but this is a big game from that perspective, too. And again, for a team that's trying to play catch-up, that kind of thing could fire them up even more. And it's a tough place to play, fellas. I'm not going to lie. Of all the places in the NBA, it's top five, maybe top three.
Okay.
That crowd is into it. It's the only thing they got going in Oklahoma City in the wintertime, and they're pretty passionate.
I was watching a random old interview of Kobe Bryant on Facebook, and the question was, who are some of the toughest players you've ever played against or, you know, best defenders? And Carmelo was actually one of the ones that he brought up, and I was kind of shocked. His first was... He mentioned Allen Iverson. He mentioned a couple other good defenders, but I think he gave Tracy McGrady the one that gave him the biggest fit because he was like tall, he was athletic, you know, and he was 6'9" or whatever. Yeah. He was a tall guy that could do everything a guard could do, and he put Tracy McGrady above everybody, but he put Carmelo Anthony in that. So I don't know.
That's weird because Carmelo's never been known as a defender. No.
Exactly,
right?
And that's why it was a shock to me. So I'm really interested to see. How Carmelo plays against this team, too, because it's important for him as well.
Well, the matchup predictor on ESPN's page, when you look at the teams, they have Houston has a 56% chance of winning the game. They're -5. So when you look at one thing that I'll do, and I'm not by any stretch a gambling guy, when I'm looking at how do these teams match up, I always look at what are they scoring versus what do they give up and the opponents, right? So the Rockets are scoring 114, giving up 105. So if they're giving up 105, right, Oklahoma is scoring 106 a game. So chances are Oklahoma is going to get what they're scoring because that's what the Rockets give up. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So they're probably going to score about 106. So you're going to have to say, can the Rockets score more than 106 points? They're going to have to in order to beat OKC. OKC's giving up 103 a game. The Rockets are usually the exception to this because of the offense that they run.
Right.
So I think, do you think, to me, this comes down to, do you think the Rockets can score more than 106 points on the road at OKC? And I think they can. That's why I think they're going to win this game.
I think they can, but I just got a gut feeling for a lot of reasons, emotions being a big part of it. I just – and a lot to prove. I think Oklahoma City is going to win the game tonight.
Last time they played was 112-107 OKC.
In OKC.
Yeah.
So. But OKC was in charge of most of that game.
And I think Chris Paul missed that game as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I can go back and check. That one, I'm not sure. It was a national TV game, and I know the Rockets were one of those.
I've got the box score right here. Chris Paul did not play left adductor.
There you go. Because I knew that that was one of those rare games this year where the Rockets were pretty much behind the whole game.
Yeah. In that game, Harden went for 29. Gordon went for 20.
But guys, you got to factor in. Ryan Anderson might not play tonight. That's huge.
That's a positive.
That's big.
That's a good thing, right? Anthony's day-to-day, too.
Carmelo?
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
Well, yeah.
What's the injury?
It just says day-to-day. I was looking at the injuries for the
series.
Based
on how he's playing, the Oklahoma City fans are feeling like you just said about Ryan Anderson. Right. It might be a good thing.
They've got listed Joe Johnson, Brandon Wright are day-to-day, Ryan Anderson out, and then Carmelo Anthony also day-to-day.
Does it not bother either one of you guys that Brandon Wright was we hadn't seen him, we saw Joe Johnson, we see him, and the next game, knee injury, out, he hasn't played since? Like, how could you get that hurt, dude? And you're really trying to prove to Mike D'Antoni that we can trust you and we can put you in the lineup when we want. That's weird to me. I don't like it.
Okay. Somebody texted, I was listening to y'all at the gym and I had to stop mid-set because I started laughing so hard at these combine questions. I thought y'all did pretty good. I really do.
No right or wrong answer except for a couple of them.
Yeah, but most of it was just your opinion on stuff.
Is your mom a prostitute? Good Lord.
I know. Can you believe somebody would have the nerve to ask
Seriously,
someone that?
I don't want to play for you anyway.
Yeah. I would be like, you know what? I'm not answering this. Somebody mentioned that. This is a clown question, bro. Bryce Harper. A lot of NFL players didn't want their QB to be a virgin. That's why they would ask, are you a virgin? When Tebow caught, because Tebow caught some heat for that. That's what somebody texted in. Somebody got mad because I mentioned the intern combine. They're like, bro, you're always so picking on the interns. Here's the thing, dude. First of all, I don't think you know how radio works. Second of all, the interns, that's their chance to shine. It sounds like we're being dicks. What we're actually doing is giving them the opportunity to get some airtime, to get some reps, to get some publicity. So chill
not
out.
Not to mention that
just because you don't understand. Yeah, they're asked.
They're not forced
to
do anything.
They volunteer. That's right. I say, who wants to do this? And then they say yes or no. And we don't make them. If nobody wants to do it, we don't do it. So chill, dude. You just don't understand how this works.
Not only are they comfortable with it.
You're just being judgmental and cranky, and you're probably like old.
Wow. Yeah. Not only are they comfortable with it, but in certain cases, they come out of it overconfident.
Yes.
Because of their appearances on this show and others. So that should be notated as well. Yeah. We always look out for the intern.
If you think that we are picking on interns, this has been going on in radio for years, and it's the whole, that's how you get them on the air. That's how you do things.
Anybody in Houston walking down the street at the Galleria Mall or anywhere else, say 6 months to a year ago, have any clue what a Juggalo Trey was?
Exactly.
Now, more times than not, if you're a sports fan in this town, you've got an inkling who Juggalo Trey is, because between the bench and the blitz and us and even Raheel and Dell to some degree, we've all had Trey on and talked about him.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Yep. Absolutely.
We're not mean-spirited in this. It's just part of the bit. It's part of the deal.
I can't believe you guys made them drink a slushie. I know. That was horrible, isn't it? Oh, God. Can you?
And we didn't make
terrible.
Them pay for it. And good Lord.
Anyways, so stop being cranky. Maybe FM sports talk ain't for you, bro. Maybe you should go listen to some.
Go back to AM.
Somebody said Barry is probably an old intern texting that. It could be.
Well, now, that's also been the case. Let's not rule that out.
Nah.
That is a possibility because they didn't get the love that others have.
Yeah, that might be it. They're jealous.
Yeah.
I don't think we've been mean to any of them.
No.
I think you wanting them to lose race down the ramp into traffic was kind of
that
over the top.
That was you that had that idea.
No. I wanted the luge race.
You had the whole idea. Put them on a dolly.
The intern Olympics. But I just wanted it across the parking lot. You wanted them to go down the ramp into the traffic. That's a big deal. Yes.
I was never insinuating that the traffic would actually be moving at the time we did this. Nick and I could be out there in the middle of the road guiding traffic to stop.
Somehow I don't trust you, and I don't think the interns would trust you either.
But they trusted you when you said, go down a ramp on a dolly without a steering wheel, but I'll give you some pads and a helmet.
I didn't say go down a ramp. I just said you're gonna go across the parking lot. There's going to be one driver and one guy pushing, just like in the Olympics. And they were all in until
you were
like,
to go down the internal ramp.
No, just across the parking lot. I didn't want you were the one that wanted them to race into traffic. Not me.
I don't remember him saying that, but I do remember.
Shut up.
I don't remember. He could have said it. I don't know.
He totally said it. Damn it, Nick.
I don't remember. I just
ruining this.
I just knew it was going to get shot down anyway.
Yeah.
I want people to start writing in your text messages and tweets of how mean Barry is to me for wanting to call me out on things like this.
Oh,
this should be an issue, too.
You actually did totally say that, by the way.
I have no idea. I don't recall saying it, but I'm not going to deny it.
Do you remember the whole I'm going to grow a beard out thing and how he lied, bald-faced lied on air about not saying he would do it? This is the same thing.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the same thing. He totally said it.
He didn't even respond. Okay. Way to just assume that he's with you. Hey, you know what I'm with? I'm with the people at Infuse Energy. You should be too. You reason why? I tell you why. Because of the fact that they've saved me hundreds on my electricity bill month to month. I'm not kidding you, people. In the summer, when it is just so hot and our energy bills were way through the roof, I called the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff did a great job taking care of me, and now my bills are saving every month to the tune of $100 or more per month. It's been fantastic, and you can too. The basic premise of it is that they're a local company trying to help people in Houston, not worried about big name, big plan, sign up and not communicate a whole lot, but make sure you sign on the dotted line for as long as they can possibly get you on a contract. This starts right from the get-go. When you call, you get a human being. You don't get an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to identify when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, whether it be for your business or for your family, and to get you a plan and a rate that makes sense for your family's needs. It's just the way they do it. It's a relationship with them. They're not trying to screw you over to make a buck. They're trying to build a relationship that lasts a long time because you can trust them and you're satisfied with them and you know that their experience is important. That's the way they do business at Infuse Energy. Check them out at InfuseEnergy.com or better yet, call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You mention ESPN 97.5. Right off the top, you get a $25 bill credit and the process goes from there. And if you're worried about the environment, 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits and it helps decrease your carbon footprint. I'm telling you, they got your back. They'll treat you right. Infuse some energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, by the way, people don't forget, the X Factor will be in the uniform for the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Revenge on his mind, defense on his behind. Corey Brewer coming back at him tonight for the Thunder. And by the way, if you're Channel 2, and I don't know if it's an intern. Oh, and I don't want to take shots at interns.
Uh-oh, yeah, don't do that.
I don't know if it's an intern or if it's someone paid that does their ticker in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Do yourself a favor. Don't call them the Oklahoma City Thunders. It's not plural. With an S. It's terrible. Plural without one.
Who said that?
It was on the ticker. The Rockets go for 16 in a row tonight as they take on the Oklahoma City Thunders.
Better hit that edit button, dog.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Those people that do those tickers sometimes are half asleep.
Angel Munoz is picking at old scabs. Leave it alone, Angel. We've moved on.
That was so funny, though. I could not help it. When he reminded me, I was like, oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah,
I'm not dare say it.
Just about when Trey and I got into it the other day.
Oh, the pork! I just saw it. The pork chop comment. Yeah.
Riley said, "I'm going to be honest, guys. I've been real confident in OKC's defense all year, but since the Roberson injury, the D has been scary to watch. I think people are missing and how much of an impact he had on this team's success."
Okay.
I mean, I guess
you got Corey Brewer now. He's better than Roberson because he can make a free throw and he's a good 3-point shooter too. Now we're going to get calls for being mean to Corey Brewer.
Yeah, Travis Porter, to the people thinking the Intern Olympics is mean, think about this. I know what Juggalo Trey actually sounds and looks like more than a bunch of local sports radio hosts in town.
Yep.
Because he's a
great
star.
Great point. Thank you, Travis. I think more people.
Astute listener.
Yes, more people could recognize Juggalo Trey on the streets than they would some radio guys.
I don't think I've ever
including me
tweeted a picture from the ESPN account of an intern except for Trey.
Juggalo Trey.
He was the only one that made that.
So much run.
Like, I wouldn't do it for any other intern.
Like,
the stuff that he's done has been memorable. I still have people tweeting about the spelling bee. When we made him do the spelling bee, he spelled dairy wrong, and then he tried to spell it again and spelled it. Dude, you're not getting that anywhere else. He's not going to just, I mean,
now,
trust
on
me.
A lesser scale.
Yeah.
But because we always give him a hard time about his hair and everything like that.
Yeah.
James Harden's beard is like Trey's hair and overall look. It's like his trademark, too.
Yes.
Because now it's so easy to identify.
Yes.
That's Juggalo Trey. The hat, the curly, bushy hair, the scruff. Dude, that's his logo.
Juggalo Trey has gotten more run, and other than me, than any other Rock the Mic winner, I would venture to say.
He won Rock the Mic?
Think about that. No. He was in it, and he lost.
Because you won it, Shock won
Craig
it.
I won it, Shock won it. Craig Koshkin won it. He's got a podcast.
Intern Trey should have definitely won the Rock the Mic.
No.
Contest.
No. Absolutely not.
Who was
absolutely
he up against?
He should have won, in my opinion.
Do you really want to listen to 3 hours a day of Juggalo Trey? Juggalo Trey is
11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
He's like
time
heroin.
Slot is a valuable slot.
Juggalo Trey's like heroin. I mean, he's good in small doses.
When you're participating in the
too much, you'll overdose.
Who beat him?
I think Craig, right? Craig Koshkin.
Yeah, Craig Koshkin won the Rock the Mic.
And beat him that year?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, he's good.
Last year.
I mean, he does well.
Craig's great.
Yeah.
He's filled in good. On the blitz. Yep. He's gotten some runs, too.
On this show.
But he's had to win a contest to do that. Juggalo Trey just showed up and was like, I just want to learn the business. And now he's getting all kind of runs.
So on the Rock the Mic contest, how long are you on the air when you're competing? Is it like a whole show? Is it a segment?
No. So, well, when I did it, they would bring you on. So you had to do a video to start with. And then it was like a 1 minute take on anything sports. And then they narrow it down from there. And then you go on the blitz and it was, they would ask you a question and then they would narrow it down. And then this was back when game day was still around. Then after they narrowed it down, you got one question or two questions, from the video stuff. And then from there, they would narrow it down again to like the top 10. And then the top 10 would do game day and everybody would get a segment. And so you would get an 11-minute segment on game day to talk sports, and then they would narrow it down to like the top 6 or whatever, and then that would be the finals on the blitz.
And the
finals is you would go head to head with people. So it was 2 rounds
but
on a Friday.
But in terms of length, how long? Like, is it a whole show?
A minute. Yeah. Yeah, the finals was I think it was like a couple of segments or maybe an hour or something like that. Okay. It wasn't the whole show.
Well, that's the reason why I'm saying it. I don't see how intern Trey lost, because intern Trey is good for a short amount of time. You know what I mean?
Because his answers, like his sports takes and his answers.
They were just disastrous?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As you can imagine.
Okay. That makes sense.
Plus, it was probably NASCAR based.
And he wasn't a star at that point, I imagine.
Right.
No one knew
who
he was.
That's actually when Juggalo Trey got his name, because on air, AJ goes, "You're like a Juggalo. You look like a Juggalo." And he was like, "No." And then from then on, everybody started calling him Juggalo Trey. Because he showed up later as an intern, but it actually happened during the Rock the Mic contest. Yeah.
What's weird is because of these
contests, sometimes the
best thing that ever can happen to you is not winning. Because if you remember, ESPN had a game, it's almost like a game show, where they had people competing to be the next Sports Center personality. I won't say anchor because they weren't anchoring. But and remember, Matt Bullard was in the competition. And Bull got to the finals,
mm-hmm.
and he lost, and he was really bummed out. And we were talking about it, and I said, "It's the best thing that ever could have happened to you." And he said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Bottom line is, if you win, they have you. That means you do what they say, like the 2 a.m. sports centers and the shows that run overnight, and you live in Bristol, Connecticut, and you do whatever they say for at least a year, however long the agreement's for, because you have to sign the agreement when you participate in the contest.
Yeah.
Because you didn't win." And within a year, Bull was the color analyst for the Houston Rockets in his own hometown.
Yep,
calling the games of the team that he loves, and he's still doing it today. So it worked out great. If you remember who won that year, not many people do, but it was like Bruce Bowen.
Oh man!
Wow.
So it has a funny thing of working itself out sometimes, and that's kind of what's happened to Trey too.
Yep.
He didn't win the contest,
dude,
but he might have won the war.
Trey had his own segment. And the 6th largest radio market in the nation, Monday Movie Moments with Trey, he had his own segment.
Yep. And then he continued to be brought back
again
and again and again.
Yeah, so that whole I'm obsessed with the intern thing. Dude, suck it. Like, they get... shut
Terry's
up.
Pissed.
I am, because now, if you don't...
Now, if the roles were reversed here, you'd be like, I can't believe you even responded to
no, him. I'm saying, don't even respond I'm just saying, guy. Like, don't assume you know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Don't assume you know what's going on behind the scenes. Just because we talk about it
bro,
on air.
I told you before, I tell you no, again. Just ignore them. Don't even respond to them.
I stand by my words.
Come on. I've been to the gym with an intern. Leave it alone.
Okay. Without this show, the interns just ride around their car with a Mr. Microphone. That was from OU Mike. Somebody said, do you think that Juggalo Trey ends up transforming into Carrot Top? You know, Carrot Top works out. So, no.
I think it's the other way. I think Carrot Top, when he gets off the roids, ends up going back to looking like Trey. That's probably what I think. Now, eye makeup is optional, but I think other than that, yeah.
That's so good. And then somebody had a non-sports question. Did you guys vote today? It's voting in the city.
I did not.
I have not yet, but I plan on doing it after work.
I didn't vote. Not going to vote. Don't care to vote.
Can't complain, though. Now, you can't complain.
It's like the old bit that Carlin did. Everyone says, if you didn't vote, you can't complain. And his point was, absolutely I can't, because I didn't pick these idiots in office. You did. So I absolutely get to complain.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's a good bit.
So here's the question, because I wasn't aware of this, because this is a primary, right? The primary, the news tells me today, which I wasn't aware of, you have to pick a party, and you can only vote on that party.
That's the primary.
So you have
to
come in a primary and say you're either Democrat or Republican.
Correct.
You can't go just based on the positions that are up for election. That's crazy.
These are the primaries. These aren't the actual elections. So this is for who's going to be in the elections later. So yeah, they don't let you. I don't think you're allowed to.
I was not aware of that.
I thought you had to be registered, though, to vote in the primary. I thought you had to be a registered Democrat or a registered Republican. That shows you how much I know. I'm assuming everyone can go and vote in the primaries. I have no idea.
I'm just telling you, Trey just decided to jump in on one of these Twitter conversations, and in vintage Trey being Trey, he said, it really wasn't that mean spitted when you look at it. Not spirited, spitted. That's our boy.
I love you, Trey.
Growing up right before our eyes.
That's the guy that won the spelling bee.
Did he, though?
No, he didn't.
Did he?
Okay. No, he absolutely did not.
All right, we'll continue to roll on as we're at the midway point of the big show. It's halftime. We'll take a break. Don't you go anywhere. You just stay right where you're at, and we'll continue to do what we do in the second half. Coming up in mere minutes, it's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half of The Usual Suspects gets underway now, as it is Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday in the big city. Checking headlines of the day. He's not Monty Hall, but hey, let's make a deal. Kirk Cousins supposedly speaking to the Minnesota Vikings about a 3-year, $91 million deal, which then solidifies rumors that were out there that the Broncos, who were interested, had heard all along that he was zeroed in on Minnesota. That's a lot of money, boys.
That is a lot of money, and it was, all, as I understand it, and I haven't seen any details on it yet, but listening to Dell and Raheel on the way in, as I understand it, all 3 years and all $91 million guaranteed.
Lance Zierlein said it best, and I'm trying to get the exact tweet so I can quote him on it, and I'll copy it and use it for my own benefit later. But he basically said, I'm not sure that anyone in the history of the NFL has ever finessed the game more than Kirk Cousins. When you think about it, hasn't won anything, hasn't got all pro and all that other stuff, but has he got the money?
He really does.
Last 2 years, he's averaged 24 a year, and now he's looking at 30-plus a year?
Well, that's just because, I mean...
He was franchised tagged twice.
Yeah.
Now he's going to get 30-plus for the next three. Good Lord, man!
It's crazy, dude.
I mean, well done. You get the golf clap from me, like, nice job, way to go. But from the sports fans of Washington and maybe even you're like, okay.
I'm trying to pull up. I'm trying to look at the top quarterback. So Garoppolo, $37 million this year. Stafford, 26. Carr, 25. Flacco. So he's not. He didn't even get. He didn't get Garoppolo money, which is weird to say because you talk about. You want to say Kirk Cousins hasn't done anything. Garoppolo started 8 games or something like that, and he's already got the $37 million for this year. Just insane.
It's better to go to play really well with a small sample size, I feel like, in the NFL to get
Brock
paid.
Brock Osweiler
is one. Garoppolo that Barry just mentioned. Yeah. Brock is probably the best example because he got paid.
Because he crapped the bed after he got paid. Garoppolo looks like they made the right move because exactly. He looks like he's the real deal.
He looks like he can play.
If A plus B equals C, Drew Brees should get $100 million a year. Based off of these,
Is this another combine question? No. Did you just confuse me with another combine question?
I mean, A seriously, though. Dude, when you look at the money that a guy who played in roughly 8 games in his career has got, mm-hmm. and a guy in Kirk Cousins, the money that he's guaranteed to make over 3 years if this contract is true, mm-hmm. and you look at combined their career accolades, and then you look at Drew Brees.
Can I tell you how worried I am?
Oh, Rodgers?
Because if they're getting what they're getting,
bro,
my guy's breaking the bank in Green Bay.
Yeah, they're going to be like, look, do you mind if we're just going to run out 7 on offense because we can't afford to pay 11.
That, unless he pulls a Brady and decides for the betterment of the team, I'm not going to try and match this deal out.
Hell no.
Brady's getting paid, though. I mean, he had the TB12 center, and he was still getting paid by the team with that. I mean, he had other...
As far as quarterbacks go, getting paid at night in the bedroom because of what he's bringing home. Yeah. But as far as quarterbacks go, Tom Brady is tied for 14th in the NFL.
That's because he's personally taking the upcoming
contract.
For the benefit of the team, he's pulling the Dirk Nowitzki card, which he's done. But now, I mean, here's the thing. Think about it, Barry, from the question you asked me about Rodgers.
Sorry, that was cash. Total cap hit, 9th.
Okay.
But still.
When you factor the Rodgers thing in, everybody gives him credit, sometimes too much credit, as almost being the greatest to ever play the position and mm-hmm. the best in the game. But what's the one thing he doesn't have? He's got one Super Bowl title, one Super Bowl appearance. So you may take a little for the betterment of your overall reputation at the end of it in your career by saying, all right, if this helps me get to another one or possibly win at least one more to put me on the map and even put me just in the conversation with Eli in terms of Super Bowls, it might be as valuable as the money hit.
You think?
I think it can be.
Do you? I don't know.
Charles Barkley, Carl Malone.
I get it. Would Gary you? Payton. But I guess my question is: would you care as an individual? What would you care more about? Maximizing the dollars that you make over a career, or
BS and finesse you? But I can tell you that the almighty dollar and as much of it as I could possibly get, exactly. I'd be all about.
And I think that's now, you know, if you're in their position and you're looking at your bank statement and you're like, man, I've got enough. I'm never going to spend all this. Then okay. But I know personally, you just can't give me enough money. There's just not enough.
I think it also depends on the position because quarterback contracts are friendlier. They're more guaranteed. And if you're, you know, a player, you know, you play a different position, you're not guaranteed a lot of that money. I wouldn't take a friendly deal if I was, I don't know. What position is dangerous that tends to get, you know,
running back.
I don't know if I'd do that. I'm not giving you a team friendly deal as a running back.
You mentioned that, and we bring in Le'Veon Bell mm-hmm. because of the fact that he's considering retirement if the Steelers don't lock him up long term. The Steelers have already said we're going to franchise tag you again, and he's like, look, you know, last year we couldn't get it done, and we were in the neighborhood of $13 million plus. Now it's averaging out because he gets an extra 20% for the second year of a franchise tag that they have to get to 14.5. They're willing to do it for 1 year. He wants a long-term commitment. If he doesn't get it, he's contemplated retirement. It's one of those deals where because that position is you take such a beating physically, and you can't tell me you're ever going to be the same when you get out of football. Whereas quarterbacks, if you got an offensive line and you're a good team, you can come out fairly good.
If it gets franchised,
but here's the thing. As a rich person, if you're a rich person,
uh-huh.
if you get to the point where how much is too much, like you said, you know what, or like Nick, like you even said with Brady, I've got side deals going, I've got endorsement deals going, I got money rolling in.
But I meant like specifically from the, he's not just getting the contract from the team, he's getting paid by the team. For other things.
So you sit at home on a June day, getting ready for football, for training camp, and you go, I got so much money already, but I want to win. I want to win another one.
But
you're willing to take a little less because you already got so much to get something you don't have a lot of, which is the postseason accolades by winning the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Well, here's what's crazy. If you look at Bell's contracts over the years, 2013, he made $1.7 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a lot of money.
Not at all.
And then it dropped $600,000.
That's his rookie contract, right?
Yeah, because he had the signing bonus. So you factor that into the contract for that year. So his signing bonus was $1.3 million. His salary was $400,000. Salary in 2014, $500,000 with $97,000 roster bonus. So he's making $600,000. And then you keep going down. He never made more than $1 million until last year. He had the $12 million. They franchise him. He's saying, I'm not doing it again. He would make $14 this year. His career earnings are $14.5 million. He would make his career earnings in 1 year. It's not terrible, but you understand what he wants because there's no security
life
in NFL contracts.
Life expectancy of an NFL running back is less than 8 years.
And when I look at
factor
some of these,
that in.
You know, because I'm sure he's thinking, hey, dude, Shady McCoy, he was getting 5, 7, 10, 8. I want that money. I've been making less than $1 million a year. I'm the best running back in the NFL. Where's my $10 million a year? Where's my $8 million a year that I should be getting paid?
He has more of a case than any quarterback or even kickers now are getting $4.5 million a year
it's
and
crazy.
Getting long term deals. The fact of the matter is, you can be a quarterback in this league or a kicker for 19, 20 years, as Brady is proving, as Rodgers is on par to do. I just told you the average life expectancy of a running back in the NFL, the average is about 5, but you can get to about 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave me what Le'Veon Bell has made, and he's what already past the midway point in his career. You better get it now because the window is closing fast.
Yeah, the thing that drives me nuts is I don't feel bad for any of these guys, but it does suck that you're in the one sport that's the most violent and does the most damage to your body, and it's the one sport where the money's just not guaranteed.
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it's something like less than 5% of the NFL has a guaranteed contract.
It's crazy.
Think about it. Baseball, they used to say Ricky Henderson, when it was a contract year, you can bet he was going to have an all-star and a Hall of Fame-like season.
Sure.
And the minute he got the multi-year deal, he relaxed and was like, I'll get to it.
Yeah.
Chuck, let's get in here real quick. You want to talk about the greatest quarterback on the planet? What's up?
What's going on, fellas? Long time no talk.
Chuck.
What's up, brother?
Dude, where you been, man?
How y'all been?
Good, brother. How are you?
Man, I've been working mornings. Ain't on the road.
That sucks.
To talk to y'all.
Chuck, I'm going to need you to quit your job so you can listen during the day.
Oh, no, man. Oh, no, I'll piss y'all. Man, I just want to say, one thing Brady doesn't get any credit for it, I don't think he took less for the help of the team as much as he took less for how much he trusts his coaches and the fact that actually Belichick. Because if he would have tried to get high-dollar money 2 years ago, Belichick would have just cut him and went with Garoppolo because we know he liked him and was only forced out of him this year. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers trusts McCarthy as much as Brady trusts Belichick. And if I'm Rodgers, I ask for more money because I don't know if I trust McCarthy. Y'all have a good day, guys.
You know what? Good take, Chuck. Good call. Appreciate hearing from you again. Don't be a stranger because we love you as part of the show. Here's the interesting thing that Chuck, to the point Chuck raises. So if you remember during Super Bowl, Rodgers went out and said, you're going to go and get rid of my quarterback coach who I love and have trusted for years, and you don't even consult me. Stephen A. Smith went nuts. Everybody made a big deal. You know what McCarthy's response to that was? I get paid to make unpopular decisions. I'm going to do what I think is best for the football team. Those are the quotes that don't have that Belichick-Brady relationship.
Right.
Those are a totally different story to kind of support what Chuck is saying.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep.
It's a really good point. I mean, and even then, do you really think that Brady, it was all just trust in Belichick? Because, you know, there's a rift now. I mean, there's the whole...
And Nick brings it up. In the center of the rift is Brady's training center and his big trainer guy.
I think some of it is just they know that he's the best quarterback on the planet. And if I'm Green Bay, you know you've got 1A or 2.
And I keep saying that window's closing.
Yeah.
You better try and start helping him because he ain't going to start helping you.
Yeah. It's weird. I'm sorry, Nick. I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
No, I mean, I was just going to say, I mean, it's just one of those things where you look around you and if someone's making what you feel you should be making, it's just natural. You know, I remember admitting to that about Alonzo Mourning when he got his, I think it was $90 or $100 million contract. He's like, oh, Alonzo Mourning's getting a $100 million contract?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting $120. You know what I mean? And I don't know what he actually got, but he did get a $100 million contract.
Speaking of, we need to look at our contract.
I was just going
to
say, we do the same thing with Polillo and Lance every day.
No, we don't. All right. Look, we got the usual suspects weight loss challenge going on, and I've got a tip for you guys that I want you to lose weight and get healthy, and this is a great way to do it. It's by logging on to healthygourmet.com and ordering some food for yourself. It's good food. It tastes good. It's ready to heat. It's easy. Losing weight doesn't have to be a lot of work. It doesn't have to be prep. You always see people posting pictures. Oh, I'm food prepping for the week. Oh, that's great. Well, how's that 4 hours feel? It sucks. You have to do the dishes afterwards. You have to cook it all. Look, man, log on to healthygourmet.com. Let them be your food prep. Let them make the meals for you. They'll even ship it to your door. You don't have to leave the house. HealthyGourmet.com makes it so easy to lose weight. And right now, you can save 10% on your order. Once you get there and you check out, during the checkout process, use the promo code ESPN975. You're going to save 10% on your order. And if you order $99 or more, they'll ship it to your house for free. How easy is that? You can order and prep on your couch. They've got all kind of foods that you can customize. So if you need like a paleo diet or low carb, gluten-free, vegan, it doesn't matter. If you want to add extra carbs because maybe you're running a lot and you want to get extra carbs in your system for those runs, you can do that as well. It's all customizable. There's no commitments. So you're not like locked in, oh, I've got to keep ordering my food here. No, you order it when you need it. There's no minimum order. You just want one meal? They'll do that too. It couldn't be easier to cook. 2.5 minutes in the microwave. When you're done, you throw it away and you're moving on with your life. But you're eating healthy and you're starting to lose weight. I've told you guys time and time again, back when I was getting ready for my show, I lost 8 pounds in a week. Half of that formula was eating Healthy Gourmet. I ate 3 of their meals a day plus a piece of fruit and I ran every day. Lost 8 pounds. You can do that too. You can lose weight. You can eat healthy and you can save time and money. Log on to healthygourmet.com and get started today.
97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 o'clock. I'll actually be with you until 7 o'clock.
That's right, because you're filling in on the blitz.
Yeah, man. Fred Fowler off this week. So I will be filling in starting at 4 o'clock.
Because Fred Fowler's off for a while.
Yeah, Fred's gone until he comes back Friday. Easy for me to say.
Right.
So I'll be in today. Tomorrow is Jerome. And then Thursday is Jong. I do believe that was the order. Adam Wexler was yesterday, so.
Sean Salisbury's show sounds really good to me right now.
What? Why?
Salisbury show on my drive home.
Yeah?
Because then I don't have to get mad at all the times I'm going to get ripped to shreds.
Why do you say
you're talking
that?
Talking to AJ about AJ? Well, there was a Twitter.
I'm talking about Barry being on the Blitz.
He thinks all we're going to do is make fun of him the whole time. That's not true.
Pretty fair.
Maybe an hour and a half, but definitely not the whole time. Sure. No way.
If you do, let me know.
See, I was going to isolate a bunch of you have complete immunity on the way home, so you'll be fine.
Somebody wanted to know, is Jimmy Graham to Houston a legit possibility? That was from Dustin. Thoughts on that at all?
Here's my thing. My thing, and it's kind of like, Nick, I used your boy Tupac in my analogy, but all eyes on Brian Gain. And if you want to make a splash and be the anti-Rick Smith, especially because Rick didn't exactly set the table for you at the draft with not having a first or a second, you could make a splash in a big way if you could find a way to bring in a big name and a guy that is obviously in a position of need. We've already said you start with offensive line, then you go to secondary. But at the same time, you know how vital a tight end is, especially to a quarterback coming off an injury that is your franchise, that has that security blanket anytime he needs it, and you got an all-pro type player, and also with his arm strength, he's the guy that you can throw it up high, the ex-basketball player, and Jimmy Graham's going to go get it for you over smaller defensive backs too. somewhere along the line, to make a name for himself, we were talking in the break about, because the Rockets website is doing a thing on the greatest calls in Craig Ackerman's history with the Rockets. And one of them was his you said, the Von Wafer call, because it put him on the map. Gain is looking for a way to put himself on the map, especially in a positive way with this fan base. Mm-hmm. One way you can do it is you can pull and make chicken salad out of chicken crap this year with the draft where you only have a first and a second and you've got free agency. If you get a couple, you get a big name and you score big with some good picks and or, man, they're going to start forgetting Rick and start putting you up on a pedestal.
Well, I know that DeAndre Hopkins, has been trying to recruit Malcolm Butler.
Several people. And Jimmy Graham.
Yeah. Yep. So it's not like he's not wanted here, and I think when you look at this team and Fedorowicz is possibly going to retire because of concussions, you look at the fact that from that position last year, I think the
Anderson,
they didn't even get
a glorified receiver.
Yeah, but they didn't even get 500 yards out of that position from the top guy. I think it was Anderson with 300 or something like that. I believe I read somewhere. That is definitely a position of need. It's not the most important.
Right.
You can get by. It's not like you don't have a pass-catching weapon, because you've got D-Hop and you've got Fuller, who can still take the lid off. We saw that connection, and people are going to say that's crazy to rely on Will Fuller, but they did make plays together. Watson and Fuller did make plays together.
Absolutely.
Can he stay healthy? That's a whole different thing.
So can you've he catch
got,
the ball?
Yeah. So you've got some guys on the team, so it's not the cupboard's not bare. But it is a point where you may have to address it. They've got $62 million in cap room, so they can afford it. I don't think I would look at it right away, but I think after the draft, it would certainly be something once you see what you get.
The only problem is because the free agency period is going to come and start getting going before you get into all the draft stuff, that you hope you have a conversation with whoever you're targeting by going, hey, can you hang in there a little bit, or is it really essential that you make a decision right off the top?
Well,
real quick,
he's probably going to get in the neighborhood.
He's going to get good money.
Well, so you figure the top three are making $10 million. Do you think Jimmy Graham is a top three, top five guy?
Depends on how he's used.
Because if you do, then he's going to get around $8 to $10 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, Travis Kelce comes to mind as top three.
Okay, he's making $9.9 million.
So then and he's there fourth. You go. So
he's
I would
fourth.
Say if unless
Jordan Reed is third at 10-1, Zach Ertz is second at 10-6, and Gronkowski obviously is tops at 10.9 million a year.
If he comes
next
back.
Year.
And if he doesn't, he's back. An idiot. But at the same time, yeah, you think about all that and you say you got to pay him 10 or more. Is he worth that? And does he have that big of a percentage of importance in the offense and the overall of the team?
Well,
we know how important offensive line is.
He made his total. Was he had a $2 million roster bonus, $100,000 workout bonus, but his base salary was $8 million, essentially. So he made $10 million last year. So that's what it's going to cost you. He's 8 to 10.
I'd give him that. Okay. I would. I really would. Because here's the thing. I think with the two in the third round, the two picks right off the top for the Texans are pretty early on, and you can find solid offensive linemen at that point in the draft. That's something that will still be around. Linemen kind of slide a little bit, except for the creme de la creme. I think they've got to focus on the secondary. I know, like you said, Butler is a guy that they've been looking at. And look at free agents that can fill other needs and then try and do what you can do to piece the rest of the offensive line together. I've even heard Lance say, I don't think you're going to go out and find tackles in free agency that are going to be difference makers, because teams that have them are going to keep them because they're that important.
Yeah. I mean, there are some free agents out there already. So that's, to me, if I'm going to go out and sign anybody, the first contract is going to be on the offensive line. And then I'm going to probably go out and chase Malcolm Butler. So Jimmy Graham might be on the radar, but he's definitely that position has to be third or fourth at least on the list of needs.
But where does the drop-off begin with tight ends? Because I feel like it was like Gronkowski, Kelce, and then everybody else.
That his list amazed me. Mm-hmm. That you could put Zach Ertz and who else was it?
Zach Ertz is a bad dude, though.
I know, but I'm saying
Jordan Reed.
I'm with you, Nick.
Jordan Reed.
I'm with you. I can see Gronkowski and I can see Kelce. I can't see those other two guys making $10 million a year.
I guess football contracts are getting a bit inflated as well, but I just feel like there's a huge drop off somewhere. I don't know if it's after the second or the third in terms of like receiving yards or whatever, but I feel like there's a drop-off.
Yeah.
A massive drop-off.
I think part of what you might be seeing, though, is the fact that The two guys you named are kind of flamboyant at that position, if that makes sense. They get a lot of press outside of what they do on the field.
They sell their own brand.
Gronkowski obviously gets a lot of run off the field. Kelce is known for being a trash talker and a hothead, and he says a lot of stuff. Remember, he threw the flag himself, and he gets a lot of run.
Thrown out.
So that makes a name for him, and he's also, I mean, he backs it up
with
his performance.
Is what you're saying.
A guy like Zach Ertz can put up numbers equivalent to Travis Kelce, but because his name isn't in the news,
not an attention seeker.
Exactly. So I think
now,
that
can be. Now here's my question to you.
Uh-huh.
If you're Jimmy Graham, you're in a recruit, and you're the Texans. You, if your Texans want him, do you win a recruiting war when you're trying to get him and get him to come here, as opposed to say a team like Green Bay, who took a shot at Martellus Bennett last year and it didn't work out, but know that they got to replace him and know how vital he is to an offense like Green Bay's, and says, "Hey, would you come play here?" Now, is it a bidding war? Is it, hey, we play indoors and in warm weather as opposed to those winters in Green Bay? Seattle knows they don't have any receivers really right now, and he was their main guy. So do they make a big push to keep him?
And don't sleep on the fact that he could go back to New Orleans,
where he was his best.
Yeah. And so I would look at that real quick. Yardage-wise, Zach Ertz was, I think, top 30, right? When you start looking at touchdowns, Jimmy Graham was second in receiving touchdowns with 10 behind Hopkins. That's 23
that's
touchdowns.
Big.
You go out and you add that, that's a big deal, right? But Gronkowski tied for eighth with eight.
But he was hurt.
Yeah, but he had eight touchdowns. So did Kyle Rudolph, so did Zach Ertz, and so did Travis Kelce. So the point about we just don't hear about Zach Ertz. Kelce had 1,000 yards and eight touchdowns. Zach Ertz had 808 touchdowns. But, oh, by the way, he had a Super Bowl.
He
as well.
And he didn't throw a flag or get flagged from any thrown out of a game.
Yeah.
All right, we're at the top of the hour, so we got two in the books. One more to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's much more of the usual suspects in the final 60 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.